Okay, here we go. Hour number two. I'm going to talk to a friend and colleague and Morgellons sufferer of many, many years. Gosh, it's got to be getting close to 20 now. Cliff Mickelson, who has been with us for so many programs. Jan Smith, bless you, Jan, if you're listening, has the flu, which is a terrible thing, especially for someone who's fighting the Morgellons. And the real problem and the reason for tonight's program is the latest abomination. I run out of words. How do you describe something so outrageous, so incredibly disgusting and vile and inhuman as what the CDC has just done? We expected it. We expected it. The CDC has pronounced Morgellons non-existent. There's nothing there. It's amazing. Anyway, Cliff, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, Jeff. Good to hear your voice. How are things going?
Well, thank you for asking. You know how they're going.
Oh, yeah, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is anymore. We're watching the entire world be taken apart and reconstructed, reconfigured, literally expunged of its natural resources. Its humanity turned into consuming zombie idiot dolts. We're watching all this, those who still can think, and that's all you folks too, and our family of listeners. And I am still amazed at how efficient, how talented, how scientifically brilliant the enemies of good are. When you own the game, it becomes relatively easy. But in addition to that, these people are truly talented at doing what they do best, and that is subjugating and annihilating individual thought and individual morality. They've just destroyed it. The CDC issued a press release. The CDC study of an unexplained dermopathy. Okay? And it just came out the other day. Unexplained, I'll read just a little bit of it to you. You all know what Morgellons is. If you don't, look on my homepage or just type in a search for Morgellons. It's as real as I am and you are and this radio broadcast is. But the CDC, obviously a vital connected part of the control apparatus, has decreed, and I quote, unexplained medical conditions can cause serious illness and disability among individuals, as well as demands on health care resources. In January 2008, CDC began an investigation that sought to better understand an unexplained apparent dermopathy, commonly referred to as Morgellons. CDC partnered with Kaiser Permanente, Northern California, a large group health plan in an area where many possible cases had been reported, and the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology as well, to begin a comprehensive clinical and laboratory study of this condition. Now, it's hard to believe, Cliff, that I'm going to stop right there for the moment, was January of 2008, 5 years ago already. And on that very day, you pronounced the whole study, as did I and others, Jan, as a fraud. A simple throwaway fraud. A whitewash.
Absolutely. Yeah, what? Absolutely a fraud, Jeff. And you know, you could smell it coming down the road before it even hove into view.
This hurts a lot of people. Let me read this a little bit more, and then we're going to do an update overview on where Morgellons is right now. The investigators contacted patients among Kaiser Permanente Northern California enrollees who had reported symptoms that included abnormal skin sensations or sores, along with the presence of fibers in the affected skin areas. Included among these patients were some who used the term Morgellons to describe their condition. The objective of the investigation was to identify any possible common cause or risk factors for the condition. Investigators also sought to objectively describe signs and symptoms of the condition. study biopsy specimens from patients' skin sores, and examine fibers or other materials reported by patients as being on or in their skin. Results of the study, published in blah, 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 show this condition appears to be uncommon among a population representative of Northern California residents. Skin damage from the sun was the most common skin abnormality found, and no single underlying medical condition or infectious source was identified. Upon thorough analysis, most sores appeared to result from chronic scratching and picking without an underlying cause. The materials and fibers obtained from skin biopsy specimens were mostly cellulose, compatible with cotton fibers. Neuropsychological testing revealed a substantial number of study participants who scored highly in screening tests for one or more coexisting psychiatric or addictive conditions, including depression, somatic concerns, an indicator of preoccupation with health issues, and drug use. This comprehensive study of an unexplained apparent dermopathy demonstrated no infectious cause and no evidence of an environmental link. There was no indication that it would be helpful to perform additional testing for infectious diseases as a potential cause. Future efforts should focus on helping patients reduce their symptoms through careful attention to treatment of coexisting medical, including psychiatric conditions that might be contributing to their symptoms. How more insulting and abusive could it get?
That's pretty insulting and abusive. The only thing it really tells us as people who know that this condition exists is that the CDC is a completely bankrupt and amoral organization. They're scientifically and morally bankrupt, and there's some question in my mind as to whether the CDC really exists, and I think a study needs to be made to determine whether or not they actually do exist. They may be just a figment of our imagination.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It exists, but it exists only as a functionary of the control apparatus. That's all. That's it.
Yeah, exactly, Jeff. Exactly. It is exactly that. And this is beneath contempt. This, and we knew this was coming. You and I have talked about this in the past, so it's not really a surprise to us. But what it really tells us is they're using a lot of phraseology, a lot of the same words that Morgellons patients have endured from the beginning. It's almost a verbatim indictment of all the slander that has ever been hurled against the Morgellons community. And it really says to me, what's going on here? What is it that they are so afraid of that they have to hide behind this mass of lies that they've engendered, they've created, at the risk of exposing themselves for the hacks that they really are, to anyone who can see? It's just contemptible.
I can't imagine, and I don't know how many programs we've done, how many programs have been done on this program itself, with people who have suffered and are suffering and will continue to suffer because there's no cure. There's no rectification of it. It's that once you have it, you have it. And
yeah.
It is quite communicable, but not always communicable. We can't directly vector it from person to person all the time. That's the perplexing part about it. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We know it is absolutely fantastic when you look at the pictures and do the research online, see the videos of these fibers. Cotton doesn't move and reach for something. These fibers move.
These fibers move.
I will tell you straight away, I have seen Morgellons fibers on a slide, well, a piece of glass, move literally off the slide. There, and
yeah.
Then some hours later, they've gone. They're moved. They fell off. They moved.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can hold them on the end of a tweezers, and they will move. You can put them under a piece of glass so that they have no moving air around them, and watch them. Watch them. They're extremely, extremely hard to explain. They're just so bizarre.
Right.
You know, absolutely.
Okay. Talking to Cliff, and we'll come right back with more. All of you Morgellons folks who are listening right now, you just remember that we are more solid than ever behind you in this program's support and Cliff's support and whatever I can do to help, of course. So don't give up. We know what's going on. Be right back. Okay, talking with Cliff Mickelson about the expected 5-year sham study and anticipated outcome by the CDC, Centers for Death Control. These people are just, I don't know how they can look in the mirror, but I do know how they can look in the mirror. They get paid, and they don't care. Everybody's got a price, right? Almost everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, Jeff, you made a point at the end of the last segment that I'd like to elaborate on, because I think it was a point that was very well made and one that's very important. You said that all the Morgellons sufferers out there and the people who are involved in this particular issue need to understand that we're more solid now than ever, and that we're not going away, and that we understand, those of us who are attempting to be advocates in this situation, you and others out there who have done wonders, we're not going away, and we know what this is about, and we're going to continue, we're going to persevere, and we will expose this sham that the CDC has perpetrated for what it really is, and we will continue, we will persevere. A very good point you made.
Well, thanks. I'm not one who needs the federal government, which is not really a government, the federal control bureaucracy, to validate anything for me. I don't need them to tell me, oh yes, there are UFOs and we are being visited. I know we are. I don't need them for validation that there is Morgellons. I know there is. And I could go on. These people are criminals. They're criminals in a moral sense. They're criminals in a legal sense, because they're literally abandoning and abdicating the responsibility to lead in the effort to secure the health of the public at large. That is
well,
a
Jeff,
criminal
they're traitors to the
failure.
Human race. They're traitors.
Very well said. Yeah. Yeah.
Traitors to the human race, and they're traitors to their scientific upbringing and their scientific principles.
They're whores. They know it. They know it. They know
that's it.
All right. What has been the, I mean, we knew this was coming, but what have you heard on the Morgellons boards and forums? What's the reaction to this? It's more.
Well, actually, you know, most Morgellons sufferers and people that have been involved in this for a long time really have known this is coming, because we've talked about this before, and the entire community is aware of the kind of suppression efforts that go into containing Morgellons, debunking it, trying to minimize it. And so, you know, very few people actually were pinning their hopes on the Center for Death Control and their report. However, since they carry clout with the mainstream and the credibility that the mainstream gives them, you know, this is an issue for us. However, as the community itself is basically just hunkered down, and it's just one more blow, and we can take it and we'll roll with it, and we're going to keep on moving forward.
We will, and I, again, don't care what they say. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to you folks who have it, who know people who have it. What's the current status of... Now, you've had it for damn near 20 years.
A long time. Long time.
Living with Morgellons. Have you personally developed any protocols that you can recommend to folks who may have recently contracted it or who are still struggling? In terms of diet... lifestyle that have helped minimize and allowed you to coexist with this nightmare?
Yes. Well, there's number one in my book is attitude. You've got to have a strong, positive attitude, and you have to keep a sense of humor about you. You have to realize that the sun comes up tomorrow, and it's going to be beautiful when it comes up. Because if you dwell on the negative aspects of what this disease can do and what it does do to you, it will pull you down, and you will be much worse for that. So you need to keep a positive, upbeat attitude about everything around you. You need to integrate yourself. You do not cut yourself off from your friends and your family and your loved ones. And you need to take care of yourself. This disease seems to run a cyclical course, especially for those that are first affected. It takes people down hard. It takes them down hard and keeps them down. And to make matters worse, there's the confusion that the first-time sufferers endure because they don't know what's going on and they can't get validation except from others in the community. And unfortunately, many of the people who are first smitten with this don't realize that there is a community out there. So they're wandering in the wilderness, and that's really hard. They have to take care of, you have to take care of yourself. You have to get plenty of rest. You have to eat well. Avoid the toxins that they try to feed you in our food. Get as much food and nourishment as you can possibly get, and it will get better. You need to keep yourself clean. You need to remove as much of this stuff as you can out of you.
Right.
Some people, Jeff, for some reason, and which I really don't really understand myself, some people will have this worse than others. It seems to be somewhat discriminatory and selective in its severity. And other people will get this, and it will just be all over them. And some people carry it in a minor case. But one thing I can guarantee everyone is that there is no cure at this point, and it will be with you for the foreseeable future. So learn to accept that. Acceptance is an important thing, and you can go on with your life and at least enjoy that and have some kind of a quality of life.
We have said that. We've also watched the rather tragic underside of the Morgellons community at large, trying to make money off desperate people, off people in agony and grief, suffering, selling cures. Those people ought to be locked up. There are no cures, period. We've said that from day one. And maybe there's some things that can help clean the body, as Cliff said, but no, once you've got this, you've got it. Real simple.
You've got it.
Keep the immune system as functional as possible. I would like to see some Morgellon sufferers try Carnivora and see what that does. Give that a 6-month tour of duty or even a 3-month trial. Getting some email now from folks. Larry Meyer sent in a picture. Thank you, Larry. It's a wad of fibers. He said, Jeff, if you see anything unusual here, you may be delusional. And, folks, do us, if you're new to this, you can go to my Morgellon section on the Rents.com homepage, or just do a search, Morgellon's Fibers, and look at the pictures, look at the videos. Go on YouTube and write in Morgellon's, and look at the videos. And there you go.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
Everywhere.
We'll talk more about everywhere in just a minute with Cliff Mickelson as we continue. Cliff, how many people have Morgellons now? It's on every continent, well established. Of course, it's jetting around the world as it is.
Yeah, the numbers we don't we don't actually know the exact numbers, but we do know the numbers are huge. There's people you just mentioned on every continent, and every day we report new sufferers. Or the blogs are new people contact the blogs.
So they are still showing up routinely, regularly, I expected.
No question whatsoever. Not only routinely, but in increasing numbers.
The curve is upward.
Yeah, the curve is absolutely upward. And when you consider that there's degrees of severity of this affliction, There's probably a huge number of people out there who have this who aren't even aware of it.
Oh, I would, there's no question. I wouldn't even bet on it. We know it. That's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the numbers have been climbing steadily, Jeff, since the mid-90s and when we really first started trying to keep track. The first thing we did was chart where it was being found, and it only took us a few months to actually chart it in every continent in the world.
What are people saying that appear on the forums who really have come in from the cold? They didn't know. They don't know what they have. They must still be, in many cases, elated to find that they do have something that's identifiable, extremely well documented, and well known. I mean, that in and of itself, for those who are, can you imagine somebody shut in, afraid to go outside because of all the lesions and the sores and barely able to move and having no one to talk to and not knowing what is wrong with them and having their doctors tell them to go home? Nothing wrong with you?
Yes. If you can only imagine, if you can imagine, as you say, imagine that, and thank goodness for computers, thank goodness for the internet, because Jeff, 40 years ago, we would have all been lost in the wilderness, wondering if we were just totally out of our minds or what was going on. There would have been no way to establish the kind of community that we now have, thanks to the internet. And the people that do come in from the cold, they're ecstatic. They're ecstatic to find out that they're not losing their mind, that this is actually happening to them, and there are others out there who can identify their symptoms and have experienced exactly the same thing. So we do have that sense of community, and of course that's due to the internet. It's also a source of strength for us because it gives us a base of people who know. They know what they've got, and they don't need to be told that they're crazy because they know they're not, and they know that this exists, and so there's strength in numbers, and there's a solidarity there, so it's a wonderful thing.
The number of people is growing exponentially, a steady, slow growth rate. Is it exploding here and there? What's the profile? I'm curious about that. Rural, urban, suburban, what kinds of people? Again, all kinds.
All kinds, Jeff. And that's the interesting thing about this. Is that, of course, even when it first started really popping up and we first started charting it, it exhibited a real egalitarian nature. It doesn't matter in the country. If you live in the country, you live in the city. If you live in the United States or you live in Australia, it doesn't matter because those things seem to be relatively insignificant. It just shows up. Now, how it shows up, we wish we knew. But you can live in... You can live in the middle of the desert of Australia and come down with this, or you can live right in the middle of Los Angeles and come down with it. It is just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. There are still people trying to hang it on chemtrails. I'm not buying that. There are fibrous things in chemtrails, but they're visible. The average Morgellons fiber is very... You need a 10-power scope to see it in many cases.
Right. At least 10-power.
Now,
the interesting thing is that This you'll find the residue of this in a lot of different places, but I agree with you. This is not something that's coming from chemtrails. This is something else. This is something else completely.
What are the variables in terms of the things being found? I know Jan Smith's research is second to none. She has found so many different things. Not just fibers, many other things. You folks can see these online. Are we seeing more and varied odd things coming out of the human skin that is looked at and observed and studied? Or are they staying pretty much in the same paradigm that we know?
Well, actually within reason, within the same paradigm, but there seems to be no shortage of unusual or bizarre manifestations that this affliction can deliver. So you'll get the basic manifestations. Those are pretty much standard. The fibers, and they're usually black, white, red, or clear. You'll get the engorged and diseased hairs and the hair follicles that are covered with
kind of a goo.
Slime.
Yeah.
Kind of a goo, exactly. Yeah, and in some cases they almost look like an old fashioned transistor when you pull one out and take a look at it under a microscope. They're just covered the word escapes me right now. I know what it is, but the word escapes me. It's a plaque. Yeah, like a plaque.
Exactly. A scab, a plaque. And, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got, of course, the usual skin manifestations, which are the open sores that will not heal or only heal occasionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of that. But then you have some of these other really strange things that people report and are documented, different types of forms that don't exist in any other form of nature. You get little star-type things. You get kinds of things.
They look like little machines of some kind. People use the term
exactly.
Nano often. A nano, of course, you can't even see. That's an atom by atom.
Yeah, I think.
But maybe there's a rudimentary nano aspect to it. We really don't know.
There's something going on there.
The other issue is one of symptoms. And we've described the symptoms over the years. You know what they are. They're the visible symptoms. But what about the invisible symptoms? And one of the first, unfortunately for many, is a mental impairment. It doesn't mean you're walking into walls and drooling, but there is a neuropathy and a mental issue that is very common. It's not always there, but it usually is. And that, of course, is suggestive of massive internal spreading and co-opting of perhaps major organs by these fibers and their subordinates.
And it's inside bone joint, too.
Yeah, well, we started out with, thank Jan again, because she had a knee replacement, and the surgeon came to her afterward and said, your knee was full of these little fibers. And that's how it all really started for me on this program. And her research has been heroic. All right, we'll be right back. Yes, oh yes. Back in a minute. Hold on. Okay, and talking to Cliff about Morgellons, Larry Meyer wrote in again, and he said that the goo, also called biofilm, and that works, whatever. It's a goo. And the stuff gets into the hairs, and your hair is kicked out, and a fiber takes its place. That's what's going on. I'll never forget the one woman in Australia who was on the program, and it had taken over the hair all around her forehead and down the sides of her forehead on her face. The front row, and it just itched because they move. They itched and drove her nuts. She couldn't sleep. There have been people who have committed suicide because of this. We don't know how many, but that's a fact. Cliff, we've talked about that. I think the larger question here is whole body penetration, whole body infiltration. It certainly can go into the brain. And there was a time on this program when we talked about having a legitimate autopsy done on a person who has established Morgellons and passed on. Many of these people have been cremated without their family's permission. There have been efforts to have autopsies done which have not panned out. Have you heard anything lately about that? Because that would be crucial. We'd know if they're in the liver. We'd know if the fibers are in the kidneys, the brain, in the arteries. I mean, they could be in the arterial walls building up plaque there by causing irritations. We don't know. They could block the heart valves. These things can proliferate enough to block veins, capillaries, and maybe even arteries. I don't know. What do you know about it? Has anyone been privy to a real autopsy of someone with Morgellons, Cliff, that you know about yet?
Not to my knowledge at this point.
That's amazing.
We have pride.
See?
Yeah, it is amazing. I'll tell you what else is amazing is that we can't get a DNA study on this stuff. That amazes me. I mean, what on earth is up with that? Part of the problem is that we only have a small cadre of doctors who are willing to put their reputation and their career on the line and work with us. They're heroic, but they're a small number. That has been a problem for us with autopsies, and we've had several, I think a couple of years ago, we had a person that committed suicide, and there was an effort to get an autopsy done, And before we knew it, they went off to the crematorium. The biggest problem is finding the doctor that'll do it and getting them there to the subject in time to get it done. And we have just not been able to do that because when you take a regular doctor, they don't even know what they're going to look for, and you just can't get it done.
There are apparently some similarities with Lyme, chronic Lyme. And I don't want to say that Morgellons is Lyme because I don't believe it is. Lyme is Lyme. But there are some symptoms that apparently are close. There are some MDs working on this issue. We've talked about that over the years. What do you know? What's the latest chatter on Lyme and Morgellons, which I'm sorry, I just personally refuse to think they're the same thing. I never will.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because at the very beginning, there was the scuttlebutt that there was a connection between Lyme and then Morgellons. And indeed, there seemed to be. And then the general consensus tended to move away from that for a few years. But now, just recently, there seems to be a movement back towards the Lyme connection. And when I say the Lyme connection, I'm not saying that it's joined at the hip. But for some reason, there seems to be a symbiosis between a lot of Lyme sufferers and Morgellons. Now I know lots of Morgellons sufferers who do not have Lyme. I'm one of them. But nonetheless, there seems to be some kind of relationship. And the general sentiment now with the doctors that are doing some work for us is that subject is back on the table for exploration.
That subject being some kind of a connection between the two, some kind?
Some kind of connection, be it a spirochete of some kind or just some kind of connection, because it's happening too often to be discounted as just being pure chance.
Or maybe a Lyme victim is more available for Morgellons infestation. We don't know.
Well, you are more susceptible, more prone to catching it. You know, for some reason, maybe it sets the body up to be receptive to a Morgellons infestation.
It's a cofactor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it would be nice if... It would be nice if we could get the research to establish that. It would be nice if we could get the researchers to give us a DNA read. What on earth is the difficulty with getting? They can get DNA out of a 1,000-year-old grave. Why do we not have a DNA breakdown of this stuff?
Well, the door has been locked shut. That's why.
You bet your boots. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And, you know, we know that, and it's just part of the, it goes with the territory, and it's, you know, it's just another hurdle that we will overcome.
As far as, again, this has always intrigued me, the idea of this stuff coming out of the skin, and my personal opinion is this is latter stage Morgellons, that it's the body attempting to push something out that has already infested the internal core of the body. I don't believe it's a first stage. What's the current wisdom on that?
Yeah, this is, and of course it's one of the hallmarks of this affliction. You know, a Morgellons sufferer will exhibit this stuff coming out of everywhere, under the fingernails, in the toenails, coming in your ears, any kind of anywhere where there's mucous membrane or hair, you're going to find it. And, you know, you'll find it in the urine or in fecal matter. I mean, it's everywhere. It completely possesses the body. And in some of the cases, more than others, you know, it breaks out all over the skin. People look like, they look like lepers from 2,000 years ago.
Okay. Mentally, give me a profile of this mental impairment I mentioned. Now, it doesn't mean that people can't function, but it's certainly depressing on top of the physical aspects of it. But we do believe it goes right into the brain. There's no reason to think it doesn't. What's the profile of that right now? Now, we've had, again, going on toward 20 years working with this, so we should be able to develop pretty good profiles, and I know you have, but generally speaking, what maybe you could say 75% of the people have neurological pathology or impairment, of their mental functioning. I don't know. What is the latest on that?
Well, you know, this has always been the stick that the mainstream medical communities use to beat us with, is that, oh, you're delusional because you're imagining all these things, which we say don't exist, but there's actual physiological things happening to people, mental things happening to people because of what this disease does. Now, if you get syphilis and you're wandering around with syphilis and it gets into its advanced stages, you're going to start exhibiting signs of mental instability. And there's a number of other diseases that have that hallmark, and Morgellons is one of them. So, you know, for people to say that, oh, you're just loony because you think you have this, no, this is actually happening. This is actually happening to the people. They become confused in the early stages, and generally in the early stages, Jeff, for some reason, I think it's when the first onset or the second onset of this, it really, really sets the body back and sets the mind back. People become confused. There's personality changes that take place.
Oh, yeah.
It has a number of effects. Yeah, a number of serious effects. People will become obsessive about certain things. They become very depressed, of course, for a number of associated factors and reasons tied to the rejection of the medical community to this, as well as just, I believe, the chemical imbalances that are occurring in the body because of what's going on. So you suffer, a lot of the initial victims suffer depression, and sometimes they don't even realize what's happening to them a lot of them don't even realize that they have it yet. But there's a very, very significant mental and physiological component of this that does a lot of damage that's very hard to chart.
Any other evidences of particular organ damage that these fibers or whatever else this disease, this dis-ease, this condition, this syndrome may cause in the body? Anything being isolated? Jan had it, of course, in her joints. I would suspect that many cases of arthritis may be subclinical Morgellons, pain, joint pain, and so forth.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. Also, I suspect that there's some serious damage being done to the lungs, and inside the, and possibly in the ears. I know that many Morgellons victims report a loss of eyesight, increased sensitivity to heat and light.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with the bones, though, is really fascinating, because as usual with this affliction, it may not exactly exhibit the same symptoms with the same people, with different people, I mean. So you'll get some people where it's in the bones. In Jan Smith's case was legendary. And then in other people, it may be affecting the ears, the sinuses, into the lungs. It can be just about anywhere. And it's not the only disease that does these kinds of things. There are others out there. So it's
right.
It's not something out of
this. This brings up the issue of, even on a level playing field, the average doctor now, if he or she were to try to diagnose something unusual, I don't know how they diagnose many, many issues anymore. As I've said before, there are only so many traditional symptoms to go around. I got a fever, I got been throwing up, my joints ache. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You can do blood panels all day long, but in the case of Morgellons, unless the people doing the examining of the blood know what to look for, and there are signs in the blood, they won't see it. So again, it goes undiagnosed.
Right.
Diagnosing dis-ease in these days is becoming harder and harder by the minute. Too many toxins, too many chemicals, too many lifestyle issues, and environmental issues that can make people sick.
Right. That's absolutely right. And you know, we're finding that that of course there are doctors out there that are willing to take this on, but most of them are so intimidated or so hooked at the navel to their textbooks and their diagnostic books.
Well, and they're also fearful. They're afraid. They don't want to step away.
Step out of line, get whacked.
Well, you invest 12 years of your life and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you don't want to blow it. So easy enforcement.
Yeah, isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so ironic. You know, there's... Jeff, I'd just like to say, you know, there's a Nobel Prize in medicine for whoever figures this out, but nobody's brave enough to take it on.
No, They aren't, and I just don't. We've had very few physicians who were willing to stand up and step forward. Very few. We need more.
Very few.
All right. Thank you. That's our update on this and our report, and I appreciate you sharing your views on the CDC's long-expected, disgusting display of treason to humankind. Thank you, Cliff. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
You're welcome, Jeff, and I'd like to thank you, and also I'd like to thank the CDC for validating my opinion of them in the first place.
You nailed it. You did. All right, my friend.
You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Right. Okay, Cliff Mickelson. All right. Again, if you have it, we're with you. If you don't have it and you want to learn about it, go to Rentz.com, take a look right down at the bottom there in the center. You'll find it. Or just do a search. Morgellons. Be back.